very, very interesting passage of Scripture. And I think of the word unusual. I don't know if that's correct to call any passage of Scripture unusual, but it's a little bit different and interesting and very important for us. So without considering getting into the context, which we have already had a background in Romans, let's begin reading at verse 16 of Romans 8. The Spirit Himself bears witness or gives testimony with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And not only they, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of the body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, let's work through this passage. And what the subject is from groaning to glory. So he takes us all the way through the present Christian experience into the glory which shall be revealed with us. Now, the word groaning is used three times. The creation groans, believers groan, and the Holy Spirit groans. And it's a very interesting word which communicates to all of us. Is there anyone here who has never groaned? Now, the groan is something you can hear. It's audible. You can hear about it. It's a sighing, and sometimes we get a little relief by sighing. But it's referred to as a related to difficulty, a groan of sorrow. In this case, it's a groan of waiting, because we are not in heaven yet. But there's an interesting thing, too, that there is a groan related to laughter. When I tell one of my wonderful jokes, sometimes people groan. And that I can't understand that. But it doesn't just produce great laughter, but people groan. But if you tell a joke and people groan, you know you got through. So it's all right. Just keep groaning, and we'll keep at it. All right, let's consider the first groan. The creation groans. Verse 22, we know that the whole creation groans and labors to give forth birth. Now, why would the creation groan? And the creation of the world, the rivers, the trees, the streams, the flowers, the deserts, the mountains, and people in it. There is a groaning. Why? Well, because there is suffering here in this life and in this world. And there's death. There's the groan of death when a loved one has departed. That's a final separation here on earth. And we can do nothing about that, and we groan in grief. And we groan in pain. There's a lot of hurt. And it's real, and there's bondage, as he speaks of here. And there's decay, and all kinds of reasons. And we think of the creation itself and how it became desert with thorns and reptiles. And you think of the animal world with the viciousness of the beasts that kill each other and kill human beings. And some of us were talking this morning about the little storm we saw the other night. Was it last Friday or a week ago Friday, about the lightning and the thunder and how awesome that is? Now, who controls that? Thank God that he's in control of storms, but they are awesome. And they can cause great damage. And you think of the earthquakes and the fire and all that's taking place here. There is no wonder at all that the creation groans in this present life, this present existence, and rightly so. And then on top of that, you think of murder, that human beings created in the image of God would premeditate, plan, make arrangements to murder another human being, which happened very early in creation, that Cain, sin so filled him that he hated his own blood brother, Abel, and killed him, murdered him. And the creation is groaning. I think that's understandable to us, isn't it? It's groaning, and it's groaning in waiting, because God is going to cleanse this whole creation, and he's going to redeem it, and the creation itself will be saved from the futility and the vanity and the bondage that it's in, and will be gloriously changed. So the creation groans, and we need to understand that's the kind of world we live in. And if we're living only for this world, we live in disappointment and discouragement, because that's the way life is here. Now, what's the cause of it? Well, he says that in verse 20, the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. God brought about this situation in his plan for the unfolding of history. Brought about sin, And although he himself is not evil and has no evil in himself, yet sin was a necessary factor in his eternal plan. And so the cause of this condition in creation is God's wrath and punishment for sin. And we could trace every human problem to sin. Now, that does not mean that if one of us contacts an illness or a disease, that it's because of our personal sin. In John 9, that's made very clear, there's a blind man. And the people ask Jesus this question, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? And Jesus said, neither. This man is blind that the glory of God may be revealed. And Jesus came along and healed him. So when we make a statement that every problem is related to sin, don't take that personally. It's just the fact that sin is in the universe. And if there had been no sin, there's no illness, no death, no disease, no murder. There's nothing here. So what is existing now in the universe is God's punishment for sin. And we need to understand that. Secondly, it's the consequence of human sin. Sin brings death. Sin brings horrible consequences. Sin is a killer. And so there's a cause for the creation to groan. Well, what's the outcome? The apostle explains it here, that verse 21, the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. There will be a redemption in the creation, and there will be a purifying. And God said it will not be by water, but it will be by fire, as he explains it to Peter. So there is the fact of creation groaning, there is the cause of it, and there is the outcome. Now, secondly, Paul explains, beginning in verse 23, that the believers groan, as he uses these words, and not only they, but we also. That is, we Christians, we believers. Not only they, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Now, why do we groan? Well, we groan because God left us here. We don't belong here. This is not our home. We're just a passing through. And we're waiting to get into our real home, our eternal home. So God left us here in this creation that's groaning. And so we rightfully groan because of all that's going on around us. And frankly, if all I had going for me is what I am learning from history about what is developing with the world order and the global society and the plans for the future of our country, I'd be in a hole. I'd probably be deeply depressed. But because I know what the Bible says and the truth of God's deliverance, it's okay. I just read it. And I learn about it all I can, but it's not a problem to me. I'm thankful that we have that. So I live here and I groan, but it's not my big deal. This world is not my big deal. So we groan. We live in the consequence of sin, with tragedy, catastrophe, brokenness. Also, we groan because we have tasted of heaven. As a Christian, and reading the Scripture, and learning about forgiveness, and reading what the Lord says about heaven and what that's like, Revelation 21 and 22, with no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death, no more all of that, it's a little taste of heaven here. And so we groan because we want to get there. This morning I talked to our son Tim on the phone, and he asked me what we were doing in church today, and I said, well, we're going to go from groaning to glory. And I read this verse 18, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He says, I can't wait for that second part. And I think that's the way we are. We're waiting for heaven. And that's what carries us through this life. We wait for our full inheritance as God has promised. Furthermore, as Becky said, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, the first fruits of the Spirit of what He's doing with us. And then we wait with hope. For if we were saved in this hope, hope is not seen, and so on. The hope of Romans 8 is not a shallow word that we use as wishing. I wish I could do this today, or I wish this would happen, which is simply based usually on humanistic things. The biblical word hope is with certainty. We hope with certainty. What we read about our inheritance and the deliverance and the fullness of eternal life with God in heaven forever is our hope with certainty. That's a glorious thing. But right now, we groan. But we want to groan in the right way. Now, thirdly, in beginning at verse 25, verse 26, really. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, let me just make a little aside here. What I believe is grievous error being taught today in the Pentecostal charismatic community with people who are using this as a basis for what they call their prayer language, where they pray supposedly with tongues, out of using this verse as a basis. That it's beyond me how a thinking person with any intellectual honesty could possibly use this verse as a basis for that. There are better passages of Scripture that they have if they want to use it. This has nothing to do with the biblical gift of speaking in tongues. In fact, the words here says it is groanings which cannot be uttered. So there's no sound at all except expression for the Holy Spirit groaning, not out of control, not the way we do, but what is the groaning of the Holy Spirit? Well, Paul explains it. He is helping us in our weaknesses. We are weak spiritually, morally, physically, personally. He helps us. We do not know what is good for us. We do not know what is right. We do not know the will of God, so the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer. Why does He do this? Because He feels our suffering. He is not aloof. And no matter how tough we have it here, don't ever accuse the Lord of not caring. Now the disciples were in a boat and there's a great storm. Jesus is asleep. And they say to Him, "Master, here's the storm." And King James says, "Carest thou not that we perish?" Terrible accusation. Don't ever accuse Him of not caring. The Holy Spirit groans with us because He feels our suffering, because He shares our burdens. And as He groans, He prays for us. And if the Holy Spirit wasn't here this morning praying for us in intercession, probably not one of us would be here. If it was for us, we would lose the desire for worship. We would lose the desire for truth. We would lose our love for the Lord. We would lose our love for each other. And the only thing that keeps us going as a Spirit-filled believer is the intercession of the Holy Spirit praying for us. There is no room for pride in our lives to think anything good is coming from us. So the Holy Spirit is praying for us, with us, in this hope. One day this is over, it's finished, and we are in glory. Glory. What a wonderful word. Let's say it together. Glory. Glory. Filled with glory. That ought to be our Christian life. Now let me suggest a few things about this glory. First of all, it's spiritual glory. When we are relieved and delivered from this life and the groaning of this creation, we will be in spiritual glory because we will perfectly love Him, we will perfectly worship Him, we will perfectly adore Him, we will honor Him as He really should be, we'll be so caught up in His majesty that it'll be glorious. It's a spiritual glory. It's a moral glory where we no longer sin and there's no temptation that can take us. There's nothing there. It's moral perfection. It is also physical perfection. Now, you ought to like that. I like the thought of that, the physical perfection. Do you ever hear your knee joint pop? You ever wake up in the morning and groan a little bit because everything's, your elbow needs a little grease or something? As Paul wrote to the Philippians, he says it this way, that the Lord is going to change this vile body into the likeness of His glorious body. We will have a physical body that is like the resurrection body of our Lord Jesus Christ, unlimited to time or space, free in eternity to live without disease, without suffering, without death, without separation. So there is spiritual, moral, and physical glory. There is also personal glory. Each of us has been created by God individually and personally. And God deals with us personally. And although we may have fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, all these people around us, yet we are a person in and of ourselves with whom God deals personally. And all those little idiosyncrasies that are part of us that come into our life, like snoring and all that stuff, it'll be gone. And all of our personal problems and weaknesses and differences, they'll be gone. We'll be perfect personally, not dependent on other people. What a great thing. So there are groanings, folks. Creation, believers, Holy Spirit, for the eternal glory. Now, how do we apply this? What does this say to us this morning? Don't live for now. Don't invest your life in something that's temporary and going to be gone. Invest your time, your money, your life into eternal values. And live with eternal priorities. Don't give everything to now. Think of the glory. Think of heaven. Think of eternity. How does this count for eternity? What value is there in it for the glory of the Lord? And have God change our lives as we live for eternity. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture and for causing the Apostle Paul to pen these words on that scroll and then preserving it for us until this morning. Thank you for this truth. And Lord, we confess this morning, we're groaning. We have reason to groan because we live here and we hurt. And yet we thank you that we see the eternal glory ahead of us and that we live here with certain hope of being delivered from all of our weaknesses and our sin and all that's wrong here into your glorious presence. Lord, while we're here, so open our hearts and lives this morning that we could make choices and decisions that would cause us to live for eternal priorities and eternal values. Work this into our hearts. And may we as a people and individually be the ones that give you the glory due your holy name. Amen.